hello from the Crypto Radio. Our English editor, Bo Jablonski, was at Jitex Global, where she spoke to Marieke de Ruyter de Wildt about the intersection of agriculture and the blockchain.
Speaking from Expand North Star, Jitex Global Dubai, this is Bo Jablonski for the Crypto Radio. I'm joined by Marieke de Ruyter de Wildt, is that correct?
Yes, perfect.
Founder and CEO of Open Food Chain. Can you explain in simple terms what it is you do?
Yeah, very simple terms. We make your food traceable so that if you are scanning a product by QR code, of course, then you can see as a consumer what it is, where it's produced, how it's been made, what ingredients, what footprint it has, anything you want to know. And that's for the consumer, right? But it's also our core focus is actually B2B. So we focus on companies, on brands.
Any particular brands that I've heard of?
Yeah, there's one, Innocent,
yeah,
which is part of the Coca-Cola family.
Okay, and what do you do with them?
So we make their Innocent drink track and traceable.
Okay, so if I pick up an Innocent bottle tomorrow, I can scan the QR code and I'll know where every single fruit is from.
Soon, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so we're not done yet, but I think in Q1 you can definitely do that, yeah.
Okay, and yeah. Which other sectors do you work in?
So we work in juice, we work in cacao, coffee, olive oil, fisheries, and there's one more. Beef, yeah, beef. But beef is actually not going very fast, and the reason for that is that it's a very closed industry, so they don't really like transparency and like consumers to know. It's the single most contributor to deforestation. They have the biggest footprints, so they have most to lose. And that is why they're less keen on traceability.
That makes sense.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think.
And I've seen that you have something called the blockchain bar and the blockchain burger. They look quite fun.
Yes, and the blockchain bowl. Yeah. We go for the B family, yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk me through how they work?
Yeah, so the blockchain burger is a hamburger. If you scan the QR code that comes then with the hamburger, you can see all 9 ingredients of that particular batch of hamburgers. And you can see where things come from, what they're made of, how sustainable they are, etc.
And where is this burger?
In the Netherlands. Okay. We launched it at a few events.
So is it your company creates the burger, or
no.
Have you partnered with a company?
Yeah? Yeah, so we are really just a tech company. Yeah. So we just provide the technology. And we will keep to be a tech company.
And where is this QR code? Is it on the box or is it on the burger itself?
Yeah, so it can be on the box, it can be on the burger. You can print it on goods. It depends. So the QR code still is the cheapest way to unlock data. And an organization that not many people know is called GS1. It's the Global Standard One. They were the developers of the barcode. And they will be launching the QR code across the globe by 2027. So then we will have that as sort of the core QR code. So all products will have QR codes soon.
Okay. And I've heard that recently the FDA have brought in these mandatory food traceability
yeah.
regulations
yes.
to that will come into effect in January.
Yeah.
Will these affect your company at all?
Definitely, yeah. And finally so, because it's been a while. So I'm in the business for 25 years. And I hope this was coming like 10 years ago. But finally, it is really emerging, not only in the US, also in the European Union, in Asia. It is governments that are demanding traceability. And they should, because you know you want to protect your consumer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does. Yeah, they're late.
What inspired you originally to start the company?
Yeah, so my background is in tech and food. And blockchain inspires me as a technology. And traceability inspires me. Because in the end, you know, if we don't have good data, if we don't have reliable data, there's nothing more to do, right? I'm a rational person and I think we need to have data. And we need to have reliable data. And for that, you definitely need blockchain. And people can challenge me on that, no problem. For verifiable, reliable data, you need an immutable data infrastructure. And today, blockchain is the most efficient to do that.
How does blockchain help solve the issue of authenticity, safety, and quality in the food supply chain?
Yeah, so it helped. The only thing that blockchain does well is to make something immutable, data immutable, and therefore you can transfer the data over the internet. Now, it is true that for food safety and those type of issues, data isn't so valuable, right? It's not a digital currency. It is a utility token. And by having that immutably registered, anyone else can sign off of it. So if I claim something, if I claim it's sustainable, somebody else can say, yes, it's indeed sustainable. So you actually, you open up the box of claims. Whereas today, most companies say, like, I'm sustainable, I'm nutritious, but you have to believe the brands, because who checks the ingredients, who checks the way it's produced? And with a blockchain, a public blockchain infrastructure, other people can challenge that and verify that on an open infrastructure. So it really increases the reliability of the claims.
Yeah, so mainly it's taking all this information, it's making it public, yes, but it's also making it mandatory that the companies provide this information, hopefully.
Well, governments eventually do, right? Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and who verifies, you touched on it a little bit, but who verifies that the information that is going on the blockchain to begin with is correct?
Yeah, so ideally, and first of all, there will be governments. So all government agencies have specialized organizations that check food safety claims. So ideally governments, auditors, and then, so a core thing that we're doing, we're actually launching a token, the Open Food Chain token. We're doing that in Q1 next year. And that's gonna focus on data validation. So for now, it is governments and specialized agencies that verify data, but we want you and I to be able to verify data and actually get paid for that, or get earn on data validation activities.
How will that work with the token?
Easy, yes. I mean, that's easy, because you can, if you would validate a certain data, then you get a reward, which would be an Open Food Chain token, which you can then exchange in something else.
So right now, like with TripAdvisor, you see you get bots creating fake reviews, for example.
Yes.
How would we stop that happening with the tokens?
Yeah, that's exactly. It's a great example. That's where you want to have a public blockchain layer. So, you know, get away with these. I mean, even Trustpilot, right? Who trusts the pilot? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why a solid technology can really solve the human problem of irreliability. So if you have a good data infrastructure or tech infrastructure, you can guarantee something to be fraud-free. And in food, the level of fraud is really crazy. I mean, in particular products more than in others. But for example, olive oil, 1/3 of olive oils that you buy in the Netherlands in the retail shop are not olive oil. It's powdered olive oil. It's probably not even having olive oil. It has other edible oils, but not olive oil. And there's so many examples. So it's with honey, it's with bread, it's with wine. We have a lot of fake food out there.
So in 5 years' time, you think the food industry is going to look really different?
I hope so, yeah. I don't think it will go that fast. 5 years ago, I said by now everything would be on a public blockchain infrastructure, which it isn't, right? We're only now getting good traction because of the regulatory framework. So the size of power is with governments, because they just have to do one thing, set the rules of the game. And if they don't set the rules of the game, nothing's going to change.
So 10 years?
Yeah, for sure, 10 years.
For sure,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, and we don't even have more than 10 years, because still food is the single source of deforestation. It's 1/3 of the global gas emissions. So it's an important industry for sustainability. So we don't have more than 10 years. We should act faster, and we can. So why wait?
Is sustainability something that inspired you to come into this industry?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, it would be stupid if people wouldn't, right? I mean, what about the next generation? So, yeah, of course.
Is there any use case for using this for, say, vegetarianism or veganism?
Yeah, Yeah, and halal. I mean, I think in this region, halal is an important component. And if it says halal, you cannot be guaranteed it is halal. With an open food chain infrastructure, you can.
Is that something that's already in the works, or is this something you just see for the future?
No, so that, yeah, we're keen to find a partner to do that with, yeah.
That sounds interesting. What do you think right now your biggest challenges are to implementing this?
Well, so I think the token launch, one of the challenges is to get investments. And a token launch is going to help with that, so we can go faster into more areas. For example, in the meat industry, we would like to be more aggressive, but we can't because we are grown out of recurring revenue for now, or actually income. So if we have more investments, and we're seeking investments at the moment, then we can be more aggressive in different industries faster.
Okay.
So it's space. My biggest challenge is space.
Yes.
We're going, and we're going now faster than we did yesterday, but I want to go even faster.
I'm trying to picture how it works. And obviously you've said meats from the meat patty and the burger. But generally, how do you can't put a QR code on the meat itself, I'm guessing, yet. So how do you trace it?
Yeah, so for meat, it will be the packaging for now, because that's an affordable way of doing it. But you can, there is a molecular, you can have a molecular tracking. But that's still, to do that on scale at mass, that's still too expensive.
But that's the future?
I think so. And I'm, you know, honestly, I think that the short-term future, with QR codes, we come a long way.
Yeah.
So I don't even think we need it at that granularity for now. I think we need it at the packaging level. That's good enough for now. It's a great improvement on what we currently have.
And how do you trace things like, say, produce, where you might have kilos and kilos of potatoes, for example? How do you mark those potatoes as coming from one particular source?
Yeah, I think the logistics industry is very well advanced. So there's a lot of ways to connect, to actually have a digital product passport attached to the physical product. I don't think it's something that we need to, you know, it's different in actually the commodity of commodities, soybean, right? It's in everywhere. So more than 70% of the food that you eat has soy. So it's the biggest commodity that we have. And it gets traded and traded and traded. So it is very untraceable. But you can make it traceable because we know exactly what stages it gets traded. And if you then implement a tracking issue or a tracking device, you can very well trade it. So there's, on containers, lots of there's plenty of opportunities. So we can fix it, but you do need to fix it.
So what are your long-term goals then for Open Food Chain?
It's the medium term is to become the new standard for open traceability. And the long term is that we become the only standard for traceability.
Great. Thank you very much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Crypto Radio. To learn more about this topic and hear more interviews, head to thecryptoradio.com.